fire bill. Last Sunday, we celebrated Epiphany Sunday, and a lot of times we think of Epiphany as one day, the day when we remember the Magi finding their way to Jesus, as we celebrated last week. But the next few weeks actually mark the season of Epiphany. You'll see it on our banner in the foyer that shows the church year and its colors, that the star has moved to a green swath in between Christmas and Lent. And that is this season that we are in, the season of Epiphany. And it's the time when we focus on the life and ministry of Jesus before turning with him toward Jerusalem and the cross. This season is rightly named as a season of revelation. It's what Epiphany means. It's really a time of learning more about who Jesus is. And in today's gospel, we'll hear the call story of two of Jesus' disciples and hear the promise that Jesus made to a reluctant, cynical follower. Just before this passage, John recounts his version of the calling of Andrew and Simon. And after that, our text continues with an invitation to another young man from Bethsaida, Philip. So I invite you now, as we read the gospel, to stand in body or spirit as you are able. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now, here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will see all heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I love the story of Peter's calling, the fisher of men. I think that's the one we think of when we think of Jesus calling the disciples. And we'll hear that one next week. But this call story, Philip, who follows and then invites Nathanael to come and see, this has long been one of my favorites. Maybe it's because of the way that cynical Nathanael, who would fit in so well in today's world, so quickly transitions into faithful disciple, simply because he has been seen. There's power in that, isn't there? Knowing that we are truly seen for who we are, that's a gift. In seminary, my pastoral care professor, Dan Bagby, had that gift. When he asked, "How are you?" you knew that he really wanted to know and that he wouldn't be satisfied with a surface answer. And to be honest, there were times when I really hated that because I liked to remain hidden behind the walls I've built up of capability and efficiency and all of those things. But it also felt really good to know that I was known and loved. And that's the gift that Jesus gave Nathanael and all the disciples. They were known by him even before they met. And our psalm today tells us that the same is true for us. Jesus knows us, all of us, every part of us, and loves us and calls us to come and see for ourselves what being loved and known by God means. And maybe even more astonishing, Jesus invites us to know him. You, the gods of other faiths, tend to be mysterious and away from their worshipers, right? There's always this distance and gap. But our God, the true God, loves us so much that he became one of us so that he might both know and be known by us more fully. What an amazing gift. The more time we spend with God through prayer and study and gathering with other followers of Jesus, the more we know God. And the more we understand not just who God is, but who we're created to be. As the disciples spent more time with Jesus, they began to realize that Jesus was no ordinary rabbi, that he was the Messiah, even if they didn't quite know what that would mean. Jesus invited them into a ministry they had no experience in, and a world they couldn't have imagined unfolded before them. And they accepted that invitation and brought others along. Just prior to this passage, after John the Baptist pointed Jesus out to his followers, two of them realized when Jesus asked them, "What are you looking for?" that what they really needed was simply to be close to Jesus. And so they said, "Where are you staying?" I guess they were a little awestruck, but they needed to be close to him. So he answered that question with a simple invitation, "Come and see." And those words were then repeated by Philip to Nathanael as he invited Nathanael to come and see Jesus, to find the answers to the questions himself. That's the perfect picture of discipleship in John's gospel. Noticing what God is doing in our lives, sharing that with others, and inviting them to come to Jesus and see for themselves. Because when our lives have been changed by Jesus, we should want to invite others to come and see. This may mean sharing what a Bible verse has meant to us, or inviting someone to join us at church where our relationship with Jesus has grown. You know, the idea of evangelism makes a lot of us nervous, in part because it's been done really badly sometimes. And we don't want to be a part of that. But being a disciple of Jesus means that we don't stop with just noticing what God has done for us and being grateful and giving worship and praise on Sunday mornings, but that we share that with others and that we invite them to come and see for themselves. But I know when we first begin to share our faith, it can feel a little awkward as we tell others what we've seen and felt. But the God who brought light from darkness, the God who raises the dead to life, that same God wants to and will do marvelous, miraculous things through us as well, through those small efforts, even when they feel awkward to us. I wonder, who might God put into your path this week? Who is waiting for an invitation to come and see? Who is desperately crying out to God, "Do you see me? I need you to help bring them to Jesus to hear that answer." There's one more thing I want us to notice in this passage. And that's the promise that Jesus made Nathanael. Did you hear it? He said, "You will see greater things than these." Or in other words, Nathanael, you haven't seen anything yet. I wonder how much we really believe those words for ourselves as followers of Jesus? Do we believe for our church? God has an amazing vision for you and for our family of faith. Sometimes I think we pray for vision while holding our eyes tightly closed because we don't really want to see it, rather than taking a risk like Nathaniel. Even when we may believe that nothing good can come from the circumstances we're in, as Nathaniel believed nothing good could come from Nazareth. As disciples of Jesus, we are promised that the best is yet to come. And that's not just a promise for heaven, it's a promise for here on earth, as we work with God to bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth. In just a few moments, we're going to move from the sanctuary into the fellowship hall for a time of listening to God, seeking the answer to the questions of who God is calling our new church to be now, and what God is calling our new church to do now. And I know it is so easy to look backward, to remember the glory days, or to hold on to past dreams. But we've determined together that the Spirit is leading us to do something new together. And our dawning sessions are helping us learn what that new thing looks like. I hope you will come and see. I believe that Jesus' promise to Nathaniel is a promise to us as well. We will see greater things than we have yet seen, if we're willing to follow where Jesus leads us. That's a little scary and a lot exciting to think about what will come. So let's go and see together, knowing that we haven't seen anything yet. Will you pray with me? God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our thoughts, our weaknesses, our motivations, our sins. And you love us still. Forgive us when we don't believe such love is true or possible, when we wonder how you could love us just as we are, when we forget that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in your image. Remove from our minds every thought which keeps us from you. Break down the walls. Push aside our pride. Help us to trust you enough to come and see. Make us ready, God, for those greater things that you have promised for us and for our church.